Well, this morning we journey from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, of course, the capital of Israel, a town of nearly 100,000 people, even in the first century, an amazing place, a center of religion, a center of commerce. And yet it was also the place where Jesus was brought after his eighth day of birth, and then again on the 40th day after his birth from Bethlehem, where Mary and Joseph had been residing, to this city of Jerusalem. The center of life in Jerusalem, of course, was the temple. The first temple had been built by Solomon, and then it had been destroyed by the Babylonians. The second temple, of course, was rebuilt by Zerubbabel, and later the temple was rebuilt by Herod. King Herod had this temple rebuilt, and it took several years. In fact, history records 46 years of construction to bring this temple to pass. And there was the place where sacrifice was made on the Day of Atonement by the high priest. But also the temple was the place where various forms of ceremony and dedication took place. And one of those was that after the opening of a mother's womb for the male child, 40 days later she would be presented for a special ceremony and dedication of the child here at the temple. The southern steps of this temple are still visibly seen today. Terry and I were there a few years ago. These steps behind us, the actual and literal steps, where Mary and Joseph would have traversed on their way up to the temple where the Lord Jesus would be dedicated. As we consider this morning this journey from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, I want you to realize that every step Jesus took and every step he took for the 33 and a half years that he lived on this planet Earth were for one simple purpose. For the Bible says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. His purpose was to bring salvation to this world. I want you to notice in our text this morning the presentation of the Savior. And I want you to get some of the sense of Mary and Joseph on their way. And we have some graphic pictures today since we have the children with us and just a little bit of an enhancement for them. So we're going to be in Sunday school as well today. But picture if you can this morning the presentation, Mary and Joseph and the babe coming from Bethlehem, coming up those southern steps of the old city of Jerusalem and into the temple there. The Bible tells us in verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which so named the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. We see the presentation of our Savior was done with a heart of submission. For the angel had stated here in verse 21 that his name was called Jesus. And in Matthew 1:21, the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. The word Jesus, the name means Jehovah, is salvation. And so Jesus Christ literally is our salvation and was Simeon's salvation coming to the temple that day. Now this act of naming him Jesus was an act of obedience on the part of Mary and Joseph. For they had been told the name by the angel, and they submissively gave Jesus the name that the angel had given to them. With a heart of obedience to the angel's message, Jesus was named. And with a heart of obedience to the law of Moses, they made their way to the temple of Jerusalem. The Bible tells us in verse 22 that according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him unto the Lord. And so this was the second journey. After the eighth day, Jesus went. Now after the 40th day, Jesus comes again. And we're mindful of what the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled the law in every way. And he comes now, presented by Mary and Joseph on the day of purification in submission to the law of the Old Testament. But he not only comes with a heart of submission, But Mary and Joseph come with a heart to sacrifice. You see, the giving of sacrifice, the giving of offerings, is not something conjured up by the 21st century church. But it has since the very beginning of faith, going back to the Old Testament to the high priest Melchizedek, to whom Abraham offered offerings. So it is even here in the life of Mary and Joseph. Though they were poor, though they were somewhat destitute by the world standards, though they apparently had no means even or ability to get into the inn when Jesus was born, yet it was required of them that they come according to the law and make a sacrifice. The Bible tells us this in verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now the law required a lamb. But two things must be noted here. First of all, Jesus did not need to bring a lamb, for Jesus is the lamb. Amen? But secondly, if a family was unable to afford a lamb, it was most common that they would bring either two pigeons or two turtle doves. And so it was, the Bible tells us in Leviticus 12 and verse 8. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. We notice in this passage then that Joseph and Mary were apparently quite poor, but still obeyed God completely in bringing the sacrifice to the Lord. And I believe this morning that we can learn something from Mary and Joseph right here. We can learn that you don't have to have all of the talent, ability, or means to be faithful to God. Every one of us this morning, no matter our station in life, no matter our education, no matter our possessions or blessings, there's something that every person here in the new year can give to God, and that is your faithfulness to God. Mary and Joseph came to that temple. They did not have a big parade. They did not have much to give, but they did what was right as unto the Lord, and they brought the sacrifice that had been commanded. They made no excuse. They didn't say, we're living here in Bethlehem. We don't have much. How can we make the journey? Much less give an offering. In fact, their spirit was a spirit of faith, a spirit of sacrifice to do what the Bible had said. I say to you again, if Mary and Joseph could make this journey, if Mary and Joseph could give this offering, then all of us can be faithful to the Lord in the new year. And so we see that this was the presentation of our Savior in the Jerusalem temple. But notice, secondly, the praise for our Savior. You see, as Joseph and Mary come and as they sacrifice according to the law, the Bible tells us in verse 25 about a very wonderful man that I want us to learn from this morning. The Bible says here, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Now I want you to picture in your mind this 6-mile walk that Mary and Joseph took. Now they come up the southern steps. They come up to that temple mount, and they walk into the temple. And all of this is being guided by God's Holy Spirit. For the Bible says there was a man named Simeon who was just and devout, and he was led by the Spirit, listen, at that very moment into the temple. How many of you believe that God has a divine timetable? And every man here should be challenged by the fact that when God spoke about Simeon, he said he was a man that was just and devout. May we say this, he was a man of God. And that is not a term to be simply stated about those that are in, quote, full-time ministry. It is something that every man here should desire to have as your label, as your testimony, that you are a just man, a devout or sincere man. And Simeon was that kind of a man. And we see that he was, first of all, a faithful man. He was a man of God who spent time in the house of God. We hear a lot of talk today about the New Testament age, sometimes called the church age. And sometimes people say things like, well, I can worship God on my boat in Yosemite, and I worship God in my own way. May I submit to you this morning that God's way is the best way, and God's way has always revolved around a place and a book. The book is His Word. The place in the Old Testament was His temple. In the New Testament is His church. And we're told not to forsake the assembling. And God bless you on this Christmas morning for showing your faith by your assemblage in this place. And what we know about just and devout men, they like to be in God's house. Even on Christmas morning. They like to be around the things of the Lord. And this man, Simeon, he was there faithfully at the temple. Some men wait for a gift or a bonus or a certain hobby or a certain series of events that might bless their life materially. But this man, Simeon, was truly waiting for one thing. He was waiting for the Lord. He was a devout man, meaning religiously pious. He was not a perfect man, but he was sincere in his heart's desire for God. And the Bible says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This word means the messianic hope of Israel, the comfort of Israel. He was waiting for the one that would come and bring peace to Israel. He was expectantly awaiting for the Lord. And what an amazing thought that is. The Bible tells us in verse 26, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And may I say to you this morning that just and devout Christians in 2016 should also be waiting for the consolation of Israel. We should be waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2 and 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it behooves us as a church that we would not be idly waiting, that we would not be slovenly waiting, that we would not be haphazardly going through this life, but that like Simeon, just and devout, that we would be living our lives seriously and with purpose and mindful of the fact Jesus Christ is coming again. And Jesus said after his resurrection, I go to prepare a place for you. Or before his death, rather, he said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will, what did he say? Come again. And so we learn from Simeon to be just people, faithful people, who are living our lives with the thought that Jesus is coming again. And when you have that thought in your mind, it affects the decisions you make every day. And it affects whether you read the Word and whether you go to the house of God, if you believe that Jesus could come at any time. And what a Christmas present it would be if every father here today would say in the new year, by the grace of God, I will be like Simeon in 2017. Just, devout, walking in the Spirit, living my life with the expectancy of His coming. What an amazing gift every child would have to have a father like Simeon who lives his life with the expectancy of Jesus Christ. Simeon was a faithful man. May I say, secondly, Simeon was a Spirit-filled man. He was a Spirit-filled man. Now notice in verse 25, the Bible says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now let's say that first phrase of verse 27 together. Ready, begin. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. One more time. And he came into the temple. Three verses, and in each of the three verses, we're told about this man that he was of the Holy Ghost walking, by the Spirit walking, guided by the Holy Ghost, three different times. And in this particular verse, number 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, we've got to be careful that we don't say, wow, that's wonderful that way back then, in a holy place like that, that men were guided by the Spirit into the temple. My friend, we should be guided by the Spirit into this church house this morning. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 that we are to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the flesh battles against the spirit. And many times the flesh doesn't want to go to church, and it doesn't want to forgive, and the flesh doesn't want to witness, and the flesh doesn't want to give. The flesh really focuses on self. And that's why the Christian life is so counterintuitive to the logic of this world. Because the only way we can live the Christian life is by the Spirit. And Simeon was a man who not only, he didn't just go to the temple like, well, I better go to the temple. Because I'm expected over there, you know. The priests are going to write me an ornery letter if I don't go to the temple. No, no. By the Spirit he went to the temple. And God wants each of us to be men and women who walk in the Spirit this Christmas. And by the Spirit, he was guided to the temple. God was leading Simeon to come at the exact right time. Do you know when God puts on your heart an impulse to witness, to give, to love, to forgive, to sacrifice, we would be wise to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see, God had an appointment for this day. And Mary and Joseph didn't know about it. Simeon didn't know how this was going to come to pass. All he knew was God's Spirit was leading him there. And listen very carefully, husbands and wives. When you take a spouse that's following the Bible and a spouse that's following the Holy Spirit, beautiful things happen. And friendships, when you take a friend who's following the Bible and a friend who's following the Spirit and you let their paths intersect, beautiful things happen. And here was a man walking in the Spirit, and here was a young, poor couple obeying the Bible, and God ordained that they should meet on this day, that his will would be fulfilled. And the wonderful thing about it, Simeon didn't have a relationship with the temple. He had a relationship with the God of the temple. He went there not to admire the architecture, but to admire and worship the God of that temple. I heard about a fella who always got these Christmas cards with everybody's family pictures, and a lot of the guys he went to school with had families and had kids, and he was still single, and he'd get these pictures, and he was happy for them, but kind of made him wonder about things in his life. And so he put a little ad out on the internet asking if he could hire a fake family for a day. And sure enough, he hired a lady with two teen boys, and he said, now what we're going to do today is we're going to take our family picture today. And so he took this lady and her boys to a place where they could have their family picture, and he made a family Christmas card, and he sent it out to all of his friends, Merry Christmas, from the Brasso family, Josh and Patty, Bone Crusher Johnson, and the boys, Blade and Thor, and sent it to all of his friends. Now I got to tell you something. There's a lot of Christians who have a fake identity, or alleged Christians who are faking a relationship and acting as though they understand the season. But Simeon was not just going through a religious motion. Simeon was walking in the Spirit. He knew the Lord. He knew God personally. And that's why he could give such praise. And if you know who he is, and if you know he's in your heart, then you don't sing the songs this morning just as an order of service, but you're giving praise to your Savior when you sing those songs, you see. And so we see the presentation was made submissively and sacrificially. And we see the praise was made by a man who knew God and who walked in the Spirit, just and devout. But notice finally this morning, the proclamation that is made about our Savior. When Simeon saw the Lord Jesus Christ, something burst in his heart of praise. Something went off like dynamite exploding when he realized what was happening that day in his life. Notice what it says there in verse 28. Then he took him up in his arms and said, blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now let's read verses 29 and 30 together, all right? Moms and dad, boys and girls, everybody, verses 29 and 30, ready, begin. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now this proclamation about Jesus Christ was made from a fulfilled man. Made from a fulfilled man. You see, God never disappoints. And God had promised Simeon that he was going to see the consolation of Israel, the Messiah, before his life ever ended. Now this man's life is fulfilled. He has seen the Christ child. And he says, Lord, I'm ready to depart. And if you hear nothing else this morning, please hear this. No one is ready to depart this earth until they have met the Lord Jesus Christ personally as their Savior. Amen. Simeon knew that he was ready for eternity because he knew the Lord personally. Make sure, my friend, that you know him not just religiously, but that you know him personally. Here was a man who was completely fulfilled in Christ. Now, some people try to find fulfillment in the things of this world, and we all know about the materialism, even through the Christmas season. I was told about two fellas that got back to work after the Christmas season, and one man asked his friend, he said, so what did you get for Christmas? And he said, oh, he said, you see that yellow Ferrari right out there in the parking lot? And his friend said, wow, yeah, I see it. He said, yep, I got a tie, that exact same color. Now, I'm telling you that some folks, you know, that are looking for their fulfillment in these ways are greatly disappointed. In fact, probably the key way that we find in marriage counseling that marriages are disappointed is by an unmet expectation. Something that got built up in someone's mind that didn't happen. And sometimes people get depressed on Christmas because they're sure it's going to be the yellow Ferrari and it's the yellow tie. But what I'm trying to say to you this morning is Jesus never fails. He never fails. He is all in all to the believer. And so here is a fulfilled man. He's fulfilled, first of all, with the presence of God. You see, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He's literally here beginning a eulogy. He is blessing the Lord. You see, all Simeon wanted was Jesus himself. All he lived for his entire life was Jesus. He didn't go to the temple to impress the priests. He didn't go to the temple for other reasons. That's not what it was about. He wanted to worship the Messiah. You see, sometimes we want Jesus and a comfortable job. And sometimes we want Jesus and a secure future. Sometimes we want Jesus and this or that. But Simeon just wanted Jesus. And when he saw him, he was not somewhat fulfilled. He was completely fulfilled. Because this is what he had lived for his entire life long. So with the presence of God, he found fulfillment. And then with the promise of God, he found fulfillment. For in verse 29, he simply says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. You see, according to the promise of God, now that he had seen the Messiah, he knew, Lord, I'm ready to die now. Lord, I'm ready to depart this earth. I'm ready to now come to heaven because I have seen the Messiah. And the Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, you will not be holding the Messiah prior to your departure from this earth. I can tell you that. It's not going to happen exactly like it did with this man, Simeon. But I do want you to know that when you receive Christ by faith in your heart, then you can say, Lord, I'm now ready for heaven. For the Bible declares, he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can say with Simeon, Lord, I'm ready to depart. When you call me home, I know that I am ready to be with you in heaven. What a wonderful promise. And so we see this faithful man is completely now fulfilled. And then notice, secondly, this fulfillment was from a faithful man, but also from a foreseeing man. Now listen to what this man Simeon says as we close this morning. And just try to capture the essence of what he's saying in the way of prophecy this morning. Verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Here we see a prophecy of salvation. In verse 30, he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. And so we understand that prophetically, Jesus was the fulfillment of those prophecies. But he's also a prophecy for all who would believe. For all who would believe. Now capture this in verse 31. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and a glory of thy people Israel. You see, Jesus Christ did not come simply for Simeon. Jesus Christ did not come simply for people who spent their time in the temple. Jesus Christ came for all who would believe. Isaiah 45 and 21, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. You see, he has promised that when we look to him, there will be salvation. Romans 10 and verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now to us this seems very common. Jews and Gentiles. Everyone can have the opportunity to be saved. But Simeon was saying something that was groundbreaking. Simeon was saying something that meant we're now passing from the Old Testament to the New Testament era. Salvation is no longer found simply through the temple. Salvation is no longer found simply through the law. Simeon is saying, mine eyes have seen my salvation, and he's going to bring salvation not only to the Jews who worship in this temple, but to the Gentiles who've never been into this temple. Anyone who will believe on Jesus Christ will be saved. And I'm thankful today as a Gentile that Jesus Christ did not come simply to bring salvation to the Jews, but that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is what Simeon prophesied. This Messiah is for everyone who will believe. And so it was in verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now, all of us who've raised children, our children have caused us to marvel a time or two. It's amazing the things that they do, and we marvel. But never did a mother and father marvel like this, because it seemed like with every turn they saw again the anointing, they saw the prophecy. They heard the foretelling of what he would do, and they were marveling at all that Jesus Christ had brought to them and had brought to us who call him Savior. And so this morning, think about this journey from Bethlehem, 6 miles up through the valley to those steps, up the steps into that temple where a man walking in the Spirit met them, and Simeon had been waiting and praying for that day. There may be somebody here this morning, and you've had a relative or a loved one waiting and praying for the day when you would come to Lancaster Baptist Church. You have a relative that doesn't just do church, they know God. And they've been praying that somehow God would intersect your path so that on a day like today, you would hear a message like this. So that you could hear that even though we're all sinners, Jesus Christ came to die for our sin. And I say to you this morning that as surely as Joseph and Mary were guided by the Word and Simeon guided by the Spirit and God brought them together in that temple, God has ordained that we would be here sharing Christmas together this morning. And God has a purpose. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, that you would know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you are like our family, and especially like my dear wife, Terry, who's with her mom this morning, who's suffering with Alzheimer's and such, my wife is the best at making a list and preparing that list and checking it. And how many of you ladies are like Terry? You start preparing that list way before December. Now, us fellas, we start on the list around December 23rd or 4th, right in there. But my wife is an expert at making a list. And she's been cooking some great meals. And she's been preparing for Christmas in these different stages. So I'm not as good as Terry at making lists, but I've got a little checklist for you this morning, and I want you to think about this with me. It's at the bottom of your notes. Here's a Christmas checklist for every one of us to consider before we're done. And I want you to make sure that you've checked these things. First, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, I don't mean to trivialize that as just a little thing to check off, for it is, in fact, the most important decision you'll ever make in life. But if you have made it, you have no trouble checking that box. If indeed you are a child of God, His Spirit lives within you and bears witness to you. And you know that Jesus Christ is your consolation, just like Simeon. So I ask you this morning, have you yourself had that day in your life when you received Christ as your Savior? I ask you secondly this morning, are you waiting in the Spirit for His return? Are you like Simeon, waiting for Jesus Christ and living your life with His coming in your mind? And if you haven't been, if you have been so focused on a job or so focused on a project or so focused on your problems that you have forgotten, your hope is coming and His name is Jesus Christ. Then let me encourage you to come back to that place of waiting with the end in mind. And let me ask you this finally on this Christmas morning. Are you content with the presence of God? You see, Simeon didn't say, oh, this is awesome. The Messiah in my arms. By the way, I sure hope I get a new chariot, and I sure hope I get this, and I hope I get that. No, no. When he had Jesus, he had everything. How many of you would agree with me this morning that after Jesus, anything else is just an undeserved blessing? Amen. Amen. And so I ask you this morning, let us be content and let us be grateful that He is our Savior and that He is with us. So how about it? Have you received Christ as your Savior? I didn't ask you if you're a Baptist or Catholic or if you were confirmed. Don't tell me, oh, I'm a Christian because I live in America, one nation under God. I'm glad it says that on the coins, but friend, that's no fast pass to heaven. I'm asking you, have you personally turned and put your faith in Jesus Christ? And I'm asking you, if you've done that, are you looking for His coming and are you living with His contentment in your heart? And may I suggest to you as I close this morning, if you can check those three boxes, I don't even need to wish you a Merry Christmas. You already have one. Because you are blessed in Christ.